This is Jay Sekulow. Major win. The Sixth Circuit says Ohio can defund Planned Parenthood.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, yesterday we were talking about judges matter. Well, we certainly found out that's the case. And let me give you what just happened. The United States Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, that's the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, ruled yesterday that Ohio can, in fact, cut state funding to Planned Parenthood because the organization performs abortions. This overturned a lower court that had blocked that decision by the state of Ohio, stripping about $1.5 million from the annual support from the network of clinics. The Sixth Circuit ruling affects six state public health programs in Ohio. It did not involve Medicaid, though, so we need to be clear on that. This was not a situation involving Medicaid. But this was also a en banc panel. So four of the 11 circuit judges who sided with Ohio were appointed by President Trump. So and yesterday when we were talking about judges matter, this is the perfect example of where judges matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, the Sixth Circuit, this is, again, in the Midwest and Ohio, taking the lead here on legislation. They're looking at more legislation in their state as well. I know they're looking at the heartbeat bill right now in the Ohio State Legislature. We're working with state legislators at the ACLJ on drafting that. It will certainly be challenged in court if it's signed by Ohio's Republican governor. But the legislature there has been very active on getting pro-life legislation to the governor's desk. Most of it was not signed by Republican Governor John Kasich. This happened to be because it was state funds only at issue, and the court has said when you're talking about only state funds, this is over $1 million of funding to Planned Parenthood clinics in Ohio, you can absolutely use those funds elsewhere.
Yeah. So, Fan, you look at this in the scope of what's going on in Congress. How do you see it fitting in? But again, on the judge's point, for everybody that's listening, we talked about how significant judges are. This is an example of that. Big win out of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Yeah, first of all, judicial nominees are extremely important for cases just like this. We see this all across the country, Jay. But on this issue specifically, the funding of the abortion industry and specifically Planned Parenthood, Jay, this is a monumental ruling for a number of reasons. First of all, the Trump administration, through the Department of Health and Human Services, has tried to make this condition, the condition that the funds will actually be used for the intent for which they are given, which is family planning purposes and not for abortion. Jay, they have passed a rule. The ACLJ filed comments on that rule, saying that if you perform abortions, you will not be eligible for those funds. What Ohio was trying to do with is just follow that rule, Jay, the same exact thing. Say, we will not use our dollars under the Title X program to go to programs that fund abortion. The judge has now upheld that. And, Jay, by the way, this exact same rationale, eventually that will be the question that is answered on the Medicaid funds as well, which is a much larger pot of money. But the same principle, Jay, should apply in those cases as
well. Ultimately, the Supreme Court kind of dodged that one last time, Harry, but I think ultimately it's coming back up, obviously.
I think that's correct. And I think one of the quintessential issues here is whether Planned Parenthood has a constitutional and legal right to government funding of abortion. And I think the Sixth Circuit's en banc decision is a clear and an unmistakable step in the right direction. Essentially, the state of Ohio can cut off funding to Planned Parenthood. And this takes place against a backdrop in which the United States Senate refused to pass a law preventing infanticide. So it's very, very important to look at the entire context of this decision.
I'll tell you something else that's significant here, and we filed, we'll put it up on the screen right now for our television audience. We filed an amicus brief, friend of the court brief. There it is. That was filed because of your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. So we're engaging these issues even at the Courts of Appeals. We don't just wait for the Supreme Court of the United States. So this was at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. That brief was filed, and again, it was a success. So we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, about the significance of this win, but also your support of the ACLJ, absolutely critical.
We have a matching challenge right now. What does that mean? You can double the impact of your donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. Whatever you donate at aclj.org, we have a donor ready to match that. So $20 will be matched with $20. You'll only be charged $20, but the effect is a $40 donation to the ACLJ. Donate right now.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So if you're just joining us, a huge win out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, a majority of the Sixth Circuit, that is sitting en banc, which means the entire Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit heard the case. 11 judges sided with our position, the position we advocated in our brief, our friend of the court brief that was filed in the case on behalf of our American Center for Law and Justice. And that means those of you who support the work of the ACLJ, you're part of that. 11 judges, four of those were appointed by President Trump. It kind of ties into what we said yesterday about judicial nominations make a big difference. We filed an amicus brief with the Court of Appeals defending the Ohio law that prohibited taxpayer dollars from flowing to abortion providers. The law bars organizations that provide and advocate for abortion from participating in six state health education programs related to pregnancy support, maternal health, STD, HEIV prevention. Planned Parenthood filed a lawsuit in federal court claiming the law violated his constitutional right to perform and advocate for abortion. So they're saying, Harry, that that they have a constitutional right, Planned Parenthood has, to federal funds or state funds in this particular case, that they have a constitutional right for it. Not some statutory grant, but a constitutional right.
I think that's correct. And the state of Ohio is contending that it has a right to issue the following message. The state of Ohio prefers to promote childbirth instead of abortion. Planned Parenthood disagrees with that. And so if you look at Planned Parenthood's efforts in California, in Vermont, and in the state of New York, Planned Parenthood has one message, that a woman's right to choose only includes the right to an abortion. Essentially, they wish to promote abortion on demand and abortion even up to the moment of birth. That is the focus of Planned Parenthood, and I think this court decision is a very important one in impairing Planned Parenthood's initiatives.
So, Jordan, you said during the break, I think it's important, we'll take calls in a minute at 800-684-3110, but you said that it's important to understand the scope of what this actually did.
Right. This was all of these various state functions and state agencies where Planned Parenthood received a total of over $1.5 million just from Ohio, just from state agencies. So not from federal funds that Ohio contributed to, like a Medicaid. These were straight out Ohio state taxpayer dollars that were going to Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics that the Sixth Circuit full panel has said Ohio does not need to provide this funding. There's another fight going on. I think this is a great opportunity for pro-life states with pro-life legislatures and governors to look at what Ohio did, follow similar suit, make sure that your state is not funding Planned Parenthood. Make sure there's legislation put through that the state is not funding. Now, there's also the bigger Medicaid battle. Medicaid is a state and federal co-program. It works together with federal and state dollars. In the Fifth Circuit, Louisiana attempted to defund Planned Parenthood via the Medicaid funds provided in the state. The Supreme Court put an injunction on that move. Now, Texas did the same thing, put a little bit, kind of followed what the Fifth Circuit, why they denied Louisiana, and kind of put more evidence. It actually involves the videos,
right.
the CMP videos, and used a little bit more evidence. They won at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, the three-judge panel. It now goes before the full Fifth Circuit in May, and that will be the case on defunding Planned Parenthood, not just through state funds, but through the federal state program of Medicaid, but it's administered. Medicaid is administered by each state.
This has been a good couple weeks on the life issue. Think about it. Last week we had the victory in New York in front of a judge on the issue of abortion, and we won in Manhattan. This is unusual. The Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals now says state funding to Planned Parenthood can be stopped. So these are two big wins. All right, we're going to take some phone calls and your comments as well. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, Jerry in Rhode Island on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jerry.
Hello, team.
Yes.
In regards to what was just said about Ohio and the state funds,
yes,
and the Texas case, it's going up to the circuit. Is Ohio going to, is Planned Parenthood in Ohio probably going to appeal to the Supreme Court, or is that not a case that can do that? And is it going to be ripe? Are they going to wait to see how Texas rules?
Well, here's what you have. So once the mandate comes down, which is probably came down today, once the decision's rendered, this has been now reviewed by an en banc panel. What does that mean? That means the entire Sixth Circuit heard it. Normally it's a three-judge panel here. If it goes what's called en banc, that means the entire Sixth Circuit hears it. That's what's happened here. So the only recourse Planned Parenthood has left legally is to take the case up to the Supreme Court of the United States on a petition for certiorari. They have 90 days to do that. So they can be working on that now, waiting to see what happens possibly at the Fifth Circuit to see if they can get a conflict. If there's a conflict among the circuits, then it's more likely the court grants it. If there's not a conflict among the circuits, then it's less likely they grant it. So could be that these you have to litigate this on an individual circuit-by-circuit basis, although I suspect one of these are going to end up at the Supreme Court,
is my guess. What's interesting is that in the Fifth Circuit, there's almost a conflict within. I mean, so far, the three-judge panel is in conflict with what they decided Texas could do with the defunding, is in conflict with another three-judge panel in the Fifth Circuit on what Louisiana could do with defunding. So, again, I think
you have an inter-circuit conflict.
The full panel, the en banc panel, now will decide the Texas case in May. That will pave the way for like a Louisiana who right now has been held they can't. If Texas is upheld to be able to do it by that Fifth Circuit, Louisiana just follows exactly what Texas did to defund through Medicaid, and they just follow exactly what they did. I mean, it kind of gives you the roadmap just how Ohio has given other states in the Sixth Circuit, and I'd say around the country as well, a way to defund Planned Parenthood at the state level and not involving the federal funds.
Yeah, so, but Harry, as far as significance of the win go, though, this is a significant win.
It is a very significant win, and it sets forth a constitutional roadmap, if you will, for the United States Supreme Court. And one of the principles that the Sixth Circuit adduced is the following one. Private organizations do not have a constitutional right to obtain governmental funding to support their activities. The state may choose not to subsidize constitutionally protected activities, just as a state has no obligation to provide a platform for an individual speech. So essentially, in this particular case, Planned Parenthood argued that its free speech rights were impaired. Planned Parenthood clearly and unmistakably supports abortion on demand. The state is withdrawing funding from Planned Parenthood, and their argument is that that violates the Constitution. The Sixth Circuit disagrees, and the Sixth Circuit's analysis is constitutionally sound, and I certainly hope the United States Supreme Court adopts the Sixth Circuit's reasoning.
You just mentioned also, Than, that 21 states are suing Texas over Title X rule right now. Let's explain Title X and what's going on there.
Well, we're talking about state dollars today, Jay, but I think it has very good ramifications for the federal effort to keep dollars from flowing to Planned Parenthood as well. Title 10 is a family planning program that is administered by the Department of Health and Human Services. And the statute that authorizes that, Jay, specifically says that the dollars cannot be used for abortion or to promote abortion. But for decades, that is exactly what has happened. In fact, Planned Parenthood has gotten an average of about $60 million a year under Title 10. Fortunately, the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, has recently issued a rule and made final, after comments from the ACLJ, by the way, a rule that would put that firewall back in place that would say Planned Parenthood cannot continue to receive family planning dollars if they continue to perform abortions. Again, they get about $60 million a year from that program. Jay, 21 states are now suing the Department of Health and Human Services over that rule. I think this ruling out of Ohio, even though we're talking about state dollars instead of federal dollars, Jay, I think the same rationale would apply. I think the government has an ability to make sure that abortion providers do not take dollars that were targeted for other programs. I think it helps that rule stand.
Yeah, let me tell you what we wrote in our brief. I'm actually reading from our brief on this case to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. We said this: governments are entitled to espouse a policy or take a position, and in so doing, they represent the views of their citizens. States need not be indifferent to the attributes of applicants who seek taxpayer funds to participate in state education programs. The unconstitutional conditions doctrine does not require Ohio to allocate taxpayer funds to an organization that promotes an unrestricted abortion license where the promotion is contradictory to the state's policy favoring childbirth. That's what we argued. Basically, that's what the court said.
I think that is correct. And it's also important to note that the court's decision is also grounded in the Due Process Clause of the Constitution, which comes from the 14th Amendment. That provision, as the United States Supreme Court has come to construe it, prohibits a state from imposing an undue burden on a woman's access to abortion before fetal viability. But it's also important to note that the Supreme Court does not command the state to subsidize that particular right. Essentially, that's what Planned Parenthood is arguing, that the state must subsidize this right. Otherwise, it's a violation of the Due Process Clause. That is unsound legal analysis.
All right, so let me say this. At the end of this segment, which is just 30 seconds from now, friends on Periscope, we're going to shut down Periscope and try to reboot for both Facebook and Periscope. If you're having any problems, just go over to ACLJ.org. I just watched it. We're streaming it there absolutely fine. But if you're on Facebook or Periscope, we're going to shut down, reboot it so that you can have it. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Judges matter. Perfect example of that right here. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So the Sixth Circuit has made an en banc decision in a case involving abortion funding. Planned Parenthood is not going to get the $1.5 million. Jordan, set it up again. Then I want to ask Jeff Surtees, a senior counsel for the ACLJ, get his opinion on that. He works extensively on these cases. But kind of set this back up again. What was at stake?
So what was at stake here was a number of Ohio programs, state programs specifically. And what the Sixth Circuit ruled, I think it was 11-17, is that Ohio can cut state funding to Planned Parenthood because the organization performs abortion. It overturns a lower court ruling that blocked the state from stripping. It's about $1.5 million a year in state funding, so it's not Medicaid. And this case, it's happening across the country. It's not a Medicaid case, but there were a number of different Ohio programs. So it's not just one Ohio program, but a number of Ohio programs at issue here. And so there were public programs like STD programs, teen pregnancy, infant mortality. None of that was used to actually provide abortions. But again, the state is saying that you do not have to prop up abortion providers. See, that's how they get this money in the first place. They say, we're going to take this money, and don't worry, state, we're the number one abortion provider in the whole country, but we won't use that money to actually kill any children or do any abortion procedures.
That's just moving them. That's just moving the money around.
Boosts them up. Of course. That frees another one in Ohio. It frees $1.5 million a year for them to spend on abortion.
Right, exactly. All right, Jeff Surtees is joining us as senior counsel with the ACLJ. Jeff, your reaction to this case?
Oh, this is just fantastic news, Jay. I mean, for far too long, Planned Parenthood has been the sacred cow of the federal judiciary. And for Planned Parenthood to get hit back this way by 11-6 en banc decision of the Sixth Circuit is just remarkable, and it's heartening as we look forward to the Fifth Circuit and other courts that are going to be dealing with this same type of issue. And the Sixth Circuit was just abundantly clear. You know, there is no due process right for Planned Parenthood to perform abortions. The alleged right to abortion belongs to the woman. It doesn't belong to Planned Parenthood. So for Planned Parenthood to run to court saying, give us money in order to be able to perform these types of activities, just runs smack in the face of clear and consistent Supreme Court precedent. Three cases from the United States Supreme Court that has made it clear that the state and the federal government do not have to subsidize abortion counseling, abortion services.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, I'd love to get your comments on this. Do you want your state to follow suit and do what Ohio has done and defund Planned Parenthood at the state level? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Lourdes calling in from Florida online, too. Lourdes, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Lourdes. Go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I have a question, and it may be a very smart question. Yeah. But I always was under the assumption that tax dollars were not able to be used for abortions.
So you're talking the Hyde Amendment. So, Than, let's lay out what that is, and then I'll tell you how the money moves around. Than?
Yeah, so the Hyde Amendment is federal legislation passed through the appropriations process that restricts dollars from being used directly for abortion, but it has not been very effective, Jay, because, for example, Planned Parenthood continues to get an incredible amount of money, $563 million a year, and then they just use it for other purposes rather than their abortion procedures, or at least they say they do. It's an accounting gimmick, Jay, but not only is it not effective, but I'll tell you this, there is multiple times already in this Congress, Jay, the House of Representatives has passed language that would repeal even the current version of the Hyde Amendment. That's how extreme the position in Washington, D.C. has become. So it's not all that effective. They find a way around it, but they wanted to do away with even that restriction.
So, Jeff, let's talk about the impact of this. You mentioned the Fifth Circuit. The Supreme Court kind of passed on this last time. What's your sense of what happens next?
Well, I think if you look reading the tea leaves here, I think we're going to get a positive en banc decision from the Fifth Circuit, and we're going to if we have a positive decision from the Fifth Circuit, we're going to have a positive decision from the Sixth Circuit. I'm not sure the Supreme Court is going to agree to intervene in one of these cases unless we see a clear split in the circuits, at least a number of circuits on either side of the tally board. And until that develops, I think the Supreme Court might be just perfectly fine to let these courts of appeals deny Planned Parenthood their funding under these state laws.
We have filed in the sixth, we're filing in fifth, and Jeff's right. If there's not a split in the circuits, Harry, the chances are the Supreme Court says that the decisions stand, and that means these states don't have to fund it, which means other states could take the same approach.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of state-level innovation with respect to attacking back of the funds that Planned Parenthood receives. It's important to note that Planned Parenthood uses a sophisticated accounting gimmick in order to claim that no government funds are being used to perform abortions. However, when an individual comes to a Planned Parenthood clinic and sits down, that individual, for instance, may receive a physical exam. Planned Parenthood then segregates the funds out with respect to the physical exam and says, oh, this is unrelated to abortion, even if the patient ultimately receives an abortion. So Planned Parenthood has engaged in a sophisticated legal and accounting campaign to claim that they ought to continue to receive either state or federal funds. And I'm glad that the Sixth Circuit, at least, has seen this particular process at work and recognizes that Planned Parenthood does not have a constitutional right to government funding.
But people need to understand, though, Jordan, even though, that, like you said, the $1.5 million, remember, once that's freed up, because they got that from the government previously, that gives them more money to, even though that's how they do it. It's a bit of a shell game on the money.
That's right. I mean, so then they can use that money to say, look, I mean, we're providing all these other services, and then use the rest of the money that they raise and get through other funding to provide abortions. And what the Ohio court said is that Planned Parenthood does not need to be the face of Ohio state healthcare. And it, under the current funding, it basically was. They were running basically most of the health clinics in the state, and that you don't need to provide, you don't as a state have to choose not only abortion provider, but a health organization that promotes abortion to become your number one state healthcare clinic. And that is, I think, clear here. That's how Planned Parenthood plays the game, is they become the number one state, quote, health clinic for women's health in the entire state and through these other funds so that they can continue to, by the way, promote their abortion and then pay for abortions through their other other funding that they receive.
Yep. So, Jeff, very quickly here at the end of the broadcast or the end of the first half hour, we had the win in New York last week with for the crisis pregnancy centers. You got the win now with the no funding. What's your sense on the abortion, the life issue overall right now?
I think we're on a very positive wave here, Jay, and not only what's going on in New York, not only what's happened with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday, but then just last term with the resounding victory on behalf of crisis pregnancy centers out of the state of California, where we filed a case, and we also filed a case out in Hawaii, and that Hawaii backed down in the face of the NIFLA decision from last term. So the pro-life movement is moving forward, and it's moving strongly, and we need to keep at it and not get lazy with these victories that we have coming our way.
Fan, quickly, we'll talk about this coming after the break. How does this issue play in the upcoming election?
I think hugely significant because the position staked out by the pro-abortion left in Washington, D.C., Jay, it's wildly out of step with the average American voter.
All right, here's what I want to know from you. How important is this issue of life when you go to the ballot box? Call us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign. We got lawyers on the genocide issue at the UN today. ACLJ.org for that. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, so last week we told you we had a huge win in New York on the issue of life in front of a judge representing crisis pregnancy centers. Last year at the Supreme Court, we were successful in a case before the U.S. Supreme Court representing crisis pregnancy centers. Sixth Circuit yesterday ruled en banc, which means the entire Sixth Circuit, there was about 16 judges, ruled in favor of the state of Ohio and their decision to not give state funds to Planned Parenthood, about $1.5 million. Texas has that pending right now. Here's the question that we're asking for this half hour of the broadcast. We've talked about the legal issue, what it means. Now we want to talk about how important the issue is politically. So let's start with that. And we'll take your calls on that too, by the way, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. How big do you, we'll get right around the horn here. How big do you think it is, Jordan?
Big of an issue this is going to be. I think that when you have what New York did, when you have what happened in Virginia, Vermont is looking at this, we just got Maryland, actually ACLJ attorneys, yes. Were testifying there, and Maryland tabled a similar constitutional yes. amendment that would have been similar to what New York did. Virginia had to remove that because of the outcry, even though the governor doubled down there, which led to his scandal, his other scandal, because someone in his medical school, so disgusted by his infanticide comment as a pediatric neurosurgeon, they put out that yeah. medical school yearbook about him. So it had consequences for him, seriously. And the pro-abortion sponsors of that legislation in Virginia pulled back and de-sponsored it. So we are seeing, while we're seeing some states try to move forward and follow New York's lead, others who are kind of, I'd say, right in the middle, purple states, are debating the issues, and they're debating whether or not to go full in like New York. And I think what they saw was that Virginia and then in Maryland, you can get yourself in really tough waters and very embarrassing very quickly, kind of just in disgusting rhetoric can start spewing from your mouth when you're in these congressional testimonies like it did in Virginia. But still fighting it out in Vermont. You know, I think that the, right. the more northeast you go and the further out west you go, the tougher these battles become at the state level. It's why what Ohio did was important to defund Planned Parenthood at the state level. And I encourage people, if you live in a red state right now, a state where the legislature's Republican, the governor is Republican, and they've expressed that their pro-life views, as most have in those red states, to follow Ohio lead and make sure that no state dollars are going to Planned Parenthood. And if you have to litigate it out, well, you've got a pretty good chance, because look what happened in the Sixth Circuit.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think, number one, the radical left is out of step with the American people on the issue of both abortion and infanticide. Number two, the Sixth Circuit decision underscores the fact that judges really matter. At least two, if not three, of the judges on the panel affirming Ohio State's right to deny Planned Parenthood funding were on President Trump's shortlist for yep. the United States Supreme
Ties
Court.
Ties right back into the judges' issue.
So the American people need to be energized on this particular issue in support of candidates who support a constitutional interpretation which is originalist in great measure. And they should also support the rule of law. Keep in mind that the radical left really doesn't care about the text of the Constitution.
Right.
They want judges who will interpret the Constitution according to the preferences of progressives. Elections do matter, and the American people should take note of that.
Ben? Your thoughts?
I think the pro-abortion candidates are going to have a real problem this cycle, Jay, because the pro-abortion left in Washington and across the country has demanded such a radical position. I mean, just a couple weeks ago in the United States Senate, only three Democrats, Jay, were able to vote that a living, breathing baby on a table seeking medical care deserved that medical care. They are going to have to get a handle on how to address that question. Otherwise, Jay, I don't think you're going to see pro-life Democrats in elected. And frankly, pro-abortion candidates, I think they're going to have a hard time this cycle.
One in New York. We won in Maryland. One at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. Last year, one at the Supreme Court of the United States. Now looking forward to a win at the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Let me encourage you. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Broadcast, everyone, taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We talked about these very significant wins on the life issue. What does it mean politically? We're also going to talk about, we had lawyers that were just at the United Nations in Geneva speaking out on the genocide issue. We're going to get to that in a moment. But let's go ahead. Lisa's been holding for a while. Let's take her call. If you want to talk to us, by the way, 1-800-684-3110.
Lisa's calling from Michigan on line one. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to let you know that I was a Democrat for many, 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 many years. And being that you see all the things and how they've changed so bad, I mean, really, really, it's not the Democratic Party that I once started, you know, voting for. And especially with this infanticide stuff, I just, they're barbaric people.
You know, I said yesterday, Elisa, that I'm watching the kind of the candidates play out here, and Bernie Sanders looks like a moderate right now. This is how it is. I mean, he looks like the moderate that the progressives, he may be too moderate for the progressives.
Yeah, I think that there is an issue where Bernie Sanders has become so mainstream, and that this idea of the policies that he has espoused for many, many years as a congressman, I think he was a mayor, then a senator, always an independent, but now, you know, aligning himself with the Democrat Party so he can run for the nomination. And he was an independent because he was really a socialist and avowed. I mean, not trying to make things up about him. He talks about it all the time and has been for many, many decades. That this has become mainstream in the Democrat Party. Now, let me make it clear. I didn't say mainstream in America, but mainstream in the Democrat Party, especially amongst those who choose who their nominee will be, which are the most active registered Democrats. There's plenty of people who are registered Democrat won't even get involved in the primary process. You know, a lot less voters right. in the primary than there are in the general election. So who are the loudest voices? Well, usually on both sides of the aisle, the loudest voices tend to be those who are more ideologically committed to a specific path for the country. The conservative side has been the right, and that includes kind of social conservatives and economic conservatives, military kind of hawks, all put together into a coalition, who vote regularly in primaries. Well, on the left, this new coalition of the most loud voices, so they'll definitely be voting in the caucuses and primaries, is this wing of Bernie Sanders. So that's why I say it's become mainstream. It's not necessarily mainstream for America, but it's mainstream within their nominating process.
What do you think, Van?
I think on the life issue especially, Jay, there's just not any room for moderation inside the Democrat Party in Washington, D.C.
Can you be a Democrat and be pro-life in today's climate?
You know, honestly, I don't think you can in Washington, D.C., at least not without very stiff opposition. I think back to when I started here about 20 years ago, Jay, when we got a life bill on the floor of the House, maybe the partial birth abortion ban, you could get a few dozen Democrats to be in support.
We had Supreme Court briefs with Democrats on the life issue.
Absolutely. But you think back to just a couple of weeks ago when there was a bill on the floor of the United States Senate that would just simply outlaw infanticide. That's what it was, Jay. It said that if there was a living, breathing child in need of care that had survived abortion, that care had to be provided. Jay, it got three Democrats to vote for it, and they weren't even votes that were cast in a outcome determining fashion. So would Joe Manchin and Doug Jones and Bob Casey have voted for that if their vote had been the tiebreaker? I'm not so sure. At least in the case of Bob Casey, Jay, we know that he has not been there on issues of life when his vote could have made the difference. So to your question of can you be a Democrat in Washington, D.C. and be pro-life? I think you can only do that if you are willing to take on very stiff opposition and lose lots of dollars because of the point that Jordan just made. All of the energy inside those primaries and inside that caucus will not allow any moderation on this issue.
So what's the calculation, do you think, that's going on in the left of center right now, Harry, politically, on how to challenge the president? In just what's the election? How many months away is it? Give me the months. Go ahead.
Well, I think essentially many of these leftists have been so deranged by their opposition to President Trump, they don't want to see him achieve a victory on any issue or any issue that he supports. And I think the caller is really on to something. What we have really seen recently is the rise of the new barbarians. During the Middle Ages, of course, barbarians would show up at your door wearing animal pelts and carrying spears. Today, we see the new barbarians wearing pinstripe suits and carrying smartphones. Unfortunately for the American people, many of the new barbarians apparently occupy offices in the United States Senate.
So 600 days to the general election for the presidency of the United States. The Hill, very respected newspaper on Capitol Hill, is reporting that Joe Biden is going to run.
Yeah, I mean, now their source is unnamed. It's someone close to Joe Biden, a lawmaker close to Joe Biden. So again, but an unnamed source, I think, it told Joe Biden does it. He's played around with it a lot. They still say he's checking the boxes. I think one of the boxes he's likely checking right now, just to be flat out honest, is can he actually win in an environment where what's most popular, at least amongst what it sounds what is most popular right now, who's getting the most crowds, are those who are running to the far left. Is there enough space for someone like him who's got
a long... Is he considered a true... In the Democratic Party, what would he be?
An Obama Democrat instead of a Bernie Sanders Democrat? Clinton Democrat instead of more similar? So he's got a history of working bipartisan. He's long political history. He also checks the boxes. He's older. He is a white guy, and he has made statements in the past that are somewhat controversial. So in this era on the left, is there a path for him? I think he doesn't have to get every Democrat vote to get the nomination. He just has to figure out, is everybody going to run so far to the left that I could kind of roll in and grab the rest of the votes? And will those people show up when they seem to be the quietest voices right now in the Democrat Party?
So you've worked with Joe Biden when he was in the Senate, Than, and I worked with Joe Biden when he was in the Senate. He's a formidable guy. The question is this a party that would nominate him?
Well, I'm trying to wrap my mind around what Jordan just said. I agree with it, but I want people to think about this. An Obama Democrat a Clinton Democrat is now no longer far enough to the left or liberal enough to win the nomination of the Democrat Party. And I,
In two and a half years, that has happened. 3 years, I guess, yeah, with the nomination. And, yep.
Yeah, right, because he would have been the heir apparent after Obama left office for the party. But I think that's correct. I think that is the only thing that is keeping him from jumping into this race. I still think he's likely to get in, Jay, but if he does not, I think it will be for the reason that Jordan just pointed out. He has not been able to get a handle on how he can run far enough left in the primary to get the nomination.
Harry, what do you think?
Well, I agree with Than. I think Than's analysis is spot on, and so I think Biden's problem will be can he retract past statements and even relatively recent statements? So, for instance, he has suggested that Vice President Pence is a nice guy. Essentially,
then he got attacked. I mean, he was,
essentially has forced
they,
to
like polarized
walk,
him over that.
He has been forced to walk that back. And so it strikes me that many of the individuals in the radical left wing of the Democratic Party, they are prepared to write off middle America. They really don't care about so-called flyover country. And so they perhaps are willing to write off Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, and other parts of the country. And so one of the big issues for Biden is at the end of the day, will the radical left coalesce behind a candidate in order to defeat Joe Biden first and then be prepared to lose the election in the fall?
I think Harry brings up a very important analysis on that, and it kind of tailors into right exactly what Than just said. But this is the great dilemma on the left here.
A huge dilemma on the left. And I'm not sure how much of a dilemma it is for most of their activists. I don't know if they're thinking that far ahead. I think that they say we're going to put up who we believe represents us. You have to be very pragmatic, and this would be a new kind of pragmatism for them to show in this recent history, to say that we will nominate someone who we don't really like or love on every issue, but we think would have a better chance at beating President Trump. And by the way, not no guarantee that they would beat President Trump, just a better chance than probably someone like a Bernie Sanders or a Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren. It's tough to imagine that right now the Democrats going there, but we're 600 days out.
Yep.
It's 600 days, a lot can happen to those other – I mean, those other candidates who are not as tested could kind of fall by the wayside pretty quickly.
Yeah. All right. So we're taking calls when we come back from the break. I'm in at the last segment of the broadcast. Talk about any topic. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let me also encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We are in a matching challenge campaign. What that means is any amount, and we're like neck and neck with last year, so we want to kind of pull ahead here. If you go any amount you donate to ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. Of course, it's tax deductible. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And literally, when you make a donation to the American Center for Law and Justice, we get a matching gift. When we come back from the break, I'm going to play for you sound that just took place at a hearing in Geneva, where the European Center for Law and Justice executive director made a presentation on behalf of those subject to genocide because of ISIS. So whether it's standing for life in the United States, fighting for those that can't defend themselves in the Middle East, your American Center for Law and Justice, literally front and center. Lawyers dispatched to New York. Lawyers were dispatched to Maryland. Lawyers working on a case in Ohio. Lawyers working on a case in Geneva. We'll take your calls when we come back. 800-684-3110 and support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
It is the final segment of the broadcast. We are going to get into some of your calls on politics. I know Bob is holding on. We will get to your call, Bob. But I wanted to make sure for our whole radio audience, they know just how engaged the ACLJ is around the world, especially when we're in a matching challenge month where everything you donate is effectively doubled. So it's a really important month for the work of the ACLJ. That we have work going on everywhere. And we had an attorney this morning in Geneva at the UN Human Rights Council presenting our case, and hundreds of thousands of you have signed on to our petition for the UN to recognize the genocide that has gone on from Christians in the Middle East, from groups like ISIS, and to use their resources like UN peacekeepers to specifically protect Christians. Here is Gregor Pupinic, our director of the European Center for Law and Justice, testifying this morning in Geneva on behalf of you.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Islamic State barbaric behavior has resulted in a systematic pattern of widespread murder, persecution, and sexual abuse, and has forced thousands of Christians and other religious and ethnic minorities to flee from their homes. It is imperative that the UN declares that these atrocities are in fact acts of genocide. While we are grateful that the UN has addressed these atrocities by taking steps to investigate the crimes of ISIS and hold them accountable, a declaration of genocide opens additional avenues of aid to victims. We are well aware that it will take time to collect evidences and bring the perpetrators to justice. During this time, it is critical that steps are also taken to address the humanitarian crisis that has resulted from these atrocities. In regions where ISIS has been defeated, continued conflict and the destruction left in the wake of the atrocities poses an obstacle to the return of refugees to their homes. Therefore, it is also necessary for the UN to take measures to provide aid and protection for the victims. The ECLJ calls this Council and the UN to stand against this evil and to use all available options to put an end to these continued atrocities and protect the victims. Thank you, Mr. President.
Again, that was this morning in Geneva at the UN Human Rights Council, and Gregor Pupinic, our director of the European Center for Law and Justice, was addressing a room full, I've done it before, of ambassadors who make up not just the UN Human Rights Council, but other countries who attend as well when the council is in session. So I think it's just very important to know about all of the work that we're doing. If you're on our email list, if you're signed up at aclj.org on the list, you got an email today about the work that we're doing at the UN, and then now you've seen the video. So it's a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now. And as you know, to have attorneys there in Geneva, to have that office in France, to have attorneys in Jerusalem, to have attorneys testifying in Maryland, attorneys testifying in New York, to have the cases we're working on across the country, it takes, in Pastor Saw's case as well, in China, it takes resources. We don't charge these clients. We do it because of your support. We're able to have excellent attorneys and government affairs teams ready to assist. And this is a great time because you can double the impact of your donation. You go to aclj.org. You'll see Matching Challenge right on the top of the homepage. You donate today, and whatever you donate is matched. We have donors who are ready to match every donation that comes in through March. So if you donate $35, we have a donor ready to match that, and that means that effectively you've triggered $70 to the American Center for Law and Justice. So donate today. It's secure. It's safe. It's very quick at aclj.org. Planned Parenthood.org and double the impact of your donation. We're going to get back into politics as well. Bob in Arkansas online too. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to give my thoughts on regarding Joe Biden. I really believe that he has really cultivated respect across the board, across the aisle, since he's been gone from the White House, and I really think he's going to be an intimidating factor towards the others who have already declared that they are running. I believe if Joe Biden will put his hat in the ring for, I think he'll win the nomination as a Democratic front runner.
I think his path. Here's why I think, Bob. I think his path is there, but I think, Than, it's a narrow one. It is a path of the Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama style Democrats who were okay with their rhetoric, were okay with their kind of where they were as liberals, but are not okay with like the Green New Deal and everybody running to endorse programs that a 29-year-old congressman puts forward.
Yeah, I think he's a more formidable general election candidate, Jordan. I think in the primary, there are a couple of big hurdles for him. First of all, there are some structural changes that the Democrat Party made that I think really hurt Joe Biden's chances. I mean, I think if the number of superdelegates was the same as it were before, and he could court the same superdelegates that went to Hillary Clinton, I think he would start with a big lead. He can't do that anymore because that number has shrunk by such a dramatic measure. The second reason, Jordan, look at the money that Bernie Sanders is raising. It is pretty clear that the energy, the momentum, the financial support is rushing to the left of Joe Biden. So, you know, if he could get out of a primary, I think he would probably have the best case to make through the Rust Belt, which they're going to have to win if they want to beat President Trump. But Jordan, I'm not so sure that inside a primary, the energy that would appeal in a general election in the Rust Belt, I don't think that gets him over the line. So I think he's got a challenge there.
Yeah, let's go to Joanne in Ohio on line one, a very important state for the nominating process, and of course for the general election. Joanne, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, guys. Now, I'm just thinking back to 2016, the few Democratic debates that there were. The only reasonable one on the stage was Jim Webb. He was a blue dog. He kind of was more reasonable, and they chewed him up and they spit him out in a second. I think Biden's in for the same thing.
Yeah.
I think if he isn't far, far left, which he isn't, and I think people will know that's not sincere, I think he'll never make it.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think that it is. I tend to agree more with that, Harry. Is that very? It's a narrow path. It's impossible to predict 600 days out, but it is a narrow path because for someone like Joe Biden, more narrow than it would be in the past because of this rising liberalism.
I think that's precisely correct, and there is a narrow path for Joe Biden if he can get through the gauntlet presented by the primaries, presented by the debates. I think the caller is onto something, though. I think Joe Biden may indeed be disqualified in terms of becoming the nominee of the Democratic Party, in part because he seems to genuinely love this country. And he has not yet embraced the radical left. He hasn't embraced, at least to my knowledge, the Green New Deal and Medicare for All, or the anti-Semitism of Representative Ilhan Omar. And so I think he may indeed have a difficult pathway getting through the primary. And I would also suggest that the radicals in the Democratic Party would likely coalesce behind someone else other than Joe Biden, and that would make it very, very difficult for him. The other issue, of course, is Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And Bernie Sanders might appeal to some of the same voters, and sadly enough, Bernie Sanders is now seen as a moderate, at least within the Democratic Party. Again, that complicates Joe Biden's pathway.
Folks, a lot to talk about, obviously, as we hit in these 600 days, a lot of issues, but with Joe Biden, he's got people out there leaking this information out in a proactive way that he's likely getting in but still checking the boxes. Update you on these life issues. A big victory out of Ohio in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals saying the state of Ohio can defund Planned Parenthood, giving a path forward for other states to follow suit with their state taxpayer dollars to stop them from going to Planned Parenthood. Donate to the ACLJ today. It's our matching challenge. You double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.